If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity.
Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're going to be diving into one of my favorite topics, which is finding that aha moment in your career. And if you've ever felt like you're checking all the boxes, but something is still missing, which I think a lot of us have experienced, then you're in the right place here. We're going to unpack how to make those really big shifts in your career, find clarity, and level up your careers in ways that brings more fulfillment and excitement. Stick around because this conversation is packed with game-changing insights that you really don't want to miss. And I'm so excited and honored to be joined today by Diana YK Chan. She is a celebrated career and business coach and an inspiring speaker, renowned for her expertise in personal branding, networking, and career pivots. She specializes in helping professionals build influential, independent, and irresistible brands, paving the way for greater opportunities and increased earnings. Diana's impressive accolades include being named a LinkedIn Top Voice in Careers and Job Search in 2022, one of Canada's top 100 creators on LinkedIn in 2023, and a top personal branding expert in 2022 and 2023. She is also an 11-time LinkedIn Learning Instructor, where Diana shares her invaluable insights through engaging sessions on LinkedIn and various speaking platforms. She has over a decade of experience coaching individuals through successful career changes, often leading to prestigious roles and substantial salary uplifts. Let's welcome Diana. I am so excited to have you here today.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Teresa. I'm delighted to be here.
I am so delighted that you are here, and there is so much to get into. But I would love to start us off with to hear about your background, because I know you've had a long journey through the corporate world all the way to coaching. Can you walk us through all your experience in marketing, operations, consulting, and how that brought you to where you are today?
Absolutely. Well, so prior to starting my business 13 years ago, I explored over 10 different roles in corporate, where I was first joined at a new grad program, moving around in 3 years in roles such as operations, marketing, training development. And then I also pivoted into management consulting after my MBA and then moved into recruiting. Every time I made that move, I thought I was on the right path. But really, I wasn't, because there was deep down that I just didn't feel truly fulfilled. I noticed I would oftentimes feel stressed or burned out, and I was really questioning, like, what's next? So I've really learned a big lesson, right, of the fact that it's so important to tune into, like, what's here, the heart, not just the head, of what we truly want and what truly makes us fulfilled there.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow, over 10 different jobs and an MBA later. That is a long journey. What were some, let's also talk about, because I think it, looking back at it, it's like you made all these turns and you ended up where you are now. But I'm sure there were a lot of ups and downs as you were pivoting so many times. What were some of the times that you went through, and how did you keep going and searching for what you truly are meant to do?
Yeah. Well, I really believe that things happen for a reason, right? Every role that I had, I was still honing on a particular skill or expertise that I wanted to gain. And so how did I make that part of it? I would say is that it wasn't until I actually invested in coaching, of becoming a life coach, but also getting coached, it changed everything for me, because coaching really helped me reflect on my strengths, my values, my interests, my vision, what I truly wanted in my career, it really pushed me to confront any limiting beliefs that I have, meaning I'm not good enough for this. I don't know I can do this. And what was really holding me back? And it was through that process, I discovered my true calling, not just my passion, but my true calling, which is all about empowering people to own their greatness with confidence, to shine and thrive. And so even when I thought I went into a training role or recruiting role, it was closer to where I want to be, like working with people. It was still missing something because I wanted more direct impact in people. And so that's how I really started exploring becoming a coach, becoming a speaker and trainer. And I knew that even if I continued that path in corporate, even in a role of training, it wasn't really the type of role that I really wanted that would give me that true fulfillment, but also being in my best self there.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love how you emphasize that coaching helped you, because you were very successful in your career. And you will think, or a lot of people think at that role, like, I know my strengths, I know myself, I know what I'm good at. But it still can give us such a big aha moment when someone else can help find what really we have inside of us that we might not even see.
Yeah. I feel like I've been raised to like chase the title, the prestigiousness, making more money, thinking all these things is what's going to bring us happiness or validation, right? But really what I've learned is that real satisfaction comes from knowing your work has meaning and aligns with your purpose. So I like to ask myself too, like, what impact do I want to make? What drives me at a deeper level, right? So once you're clear on that purpose, you can design the career around that, and then letting your mission guide your decisions and the right position will naturally fold and follow there. So I have this saying is purpose before position. Let your heart lead the mission.
Love that, Diana. That is so beautiful. Can you say that one more time?
Purpose before positioned, and let your heart lead the mission.
I love that. And I'm curious because you had shared with me that when you invested, so going back again into your earlier career, that you had invested into your MBA and to plan into pivoting into consulting. And you were pretty sure that this is going to be your dream job. And getting an MBA is a significant investment. How did this turn out for you? And was it worth the investment?
So I did my MBA first, and then I did life coaching training. And I remember vividly my very last coaching training session. I said in front of 30 people who all want to become coaches that that investment in coaching was 10 times more worthwhile than MBA. Let me explain why. The MBA was really expensive, like a six-figure investment. And I really thought that at first, going for my MBA was where I would be the turning point, move back to Hong Kong, have an international career, management consulting. And it wasn't, right? This was like back in 2008 when, you know, the economy wasn't the greatest. And what I realized was I didn't do enough deep soul searching work. I just thought that if I get more education, develop certain hard skills, it's what's going to really give me more of that credibility. But really, it wasn't. So how has things unfolded? When I think back, I really believe investing not only myself, but getting coach was really led to where I am today, where I've doubled my business year over year and make these pivots. And one of the breaking point I'll share with everyone here of even just my upbringing, one of the limiting beliefs I had was, or I felt like I was always trying to please my parents, that I wanted to hit a certain status, salary, title, position, whatever that was. And I remember the coach called me out and said, stop living the life that your parents wanted you to and start living the life that you really want. That was like where I was like in tears. I was like, wow, I've been living a life that's not true to myself. Mm-hmm. And this is why I really believe the work I do now as a business coach, I'm all about alignment, is to design a life and career that aligns to who you truly are and how you want to live your life there.
Oh, Thank you for sharing that, Diana. What a powerful moment. And I agree. And I think that is something that as women, we're even more conditioned to do is the people pleasing and doing what society tells us what we should be doing. And we're sort of, and all of us, right? This is not just women, but we're surrounded by so much societal expectation, by so many pressures, by what our parents want us to do, what our family wants us to do, what the community or the society we live in. And it's really brave to step out of this or take a step back and think, okay, what do I want? Not as what do all these other people want for me, but what do I want?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always like to say, if it doesn't light you up, it's not your path. And I know this is something we can talk about, how it aligns to who we truly are, Teresa.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. You just said that. As you know, I'm super passionate about the spark type assessment. It's about what lights you up, what gives you that spark, what makes you feel that level of fulfillment where most of us are looking for in their career. And for those of you who have not heard about the spark type assessment, you can actually take it for free on sparkatype.com. It originates from the decades-long experience of Jonathan Fields. It's a research-backed assessment. And the sparkotype is the unique imprint for work that makes us come alive. And the more someone's sparkotype aligns with the work you do, the more you can feel that sense of energy, excitement, that your work is meaningful. You can experience that flow state and fully be yourself. For me, that was actually the biggest one, is I can be myself at work. And Diana, before we went to the amazing retreat in Cancun and business mastermind that you led, oh my God, we'll save that for another episode because I could talk about it for an hour or two. but I had everyone, or I encouraged everyone, and you allowed me to take a sparkotype, and your results came back as advisor as your primary, shadow the sage, and anti the essentialist. Mm-hmm. And before we talk about those in more detail, do you mind sharing what your initial reaction was to the assessment and what your thoughts were? Because I know you took lots of assessments in your life.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of assessments. What I love about this one, it really helped me understand more who I am. Like when I read the assessment that I'm an advisor, I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I love one-on-one coaching, why I love speaking, why I love connecting, why I love helping people to be their best selves, unlock their potential. Like it just had this light bulb moment for me of times when I just feel like I'm like, am my best self, but also truly making an impact. That was my big like reassurance, like, yeah, that makes sense. And then on the flip side, understanding my anti-sarcotype made me realize, oh, this is why things take longer to do or why I feel drained when I'm doing this type of work. So it really helped me to double down on just what I'm naturally good at, what gives me energy, what fills my cup. And as a result, really thriving and blossoming as well.
Oh, I love that, Diana. And I so relate. The first time I took the sparkotype assessment, my primary is a scientist. I was like, this is me. Like I've never felt so heard and seen and understood in my life than when I took this assessment. And to dive a little bit deeper into your results, so I'm going to start with the shadow sparkotype, the sage, which is to illuminate, teach, elevate others, often you live to share ideas, insights, knowledge, and experiences with others that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. And it's that aha moment or seeing the light bulb go in someone else that gives you a really deep sense of satisfaction. Does it resonate with you?
Totally, totally. Like I get so giddy and energized when I'm speaking in front of like hundreds of people. And then there's like this light bulb moment or this energy shift in the room that I can just feel that in the audience there. It just gives me just so much excitement. And then at the same time, I just love also having one-on-one conversations like this where people have this light bulb moment. It's just so exciting. I don't even know how to describe it. And I just love seeing transformation in people. And so when I think about this, and I think from a learning standpoint, is that you know you're meant for more when your career does not feel like a chore.
Yes.
Right? If your work feels like it's a grind, if it drains your energy rather than fill you up, right? That is a clear indicator that you're not in the right place. On the flip side, when you're in alignment with your true strengths, your passions, and your values, your career just feels more fulfilling rather than burdensome. Okay, so you just know that you're on that right path. And when you use the word flow, that's how I feel. Like when you're doing that kind of work, you're just like in flow.
Yeah.
In alignment there.
And let's to talk more about flow, your primary spark types. So our shadow and primary, they work usually very close together. Your primary is very aligned. It's the advisors. And advisors are all about guiding to grow. So it's the work of coaching, mentoring, advising that fills you up like nothing else. And the satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being with and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcomes. Does that resonate with you as well?
Totally. I can totally feel that. It's the impact, the people impact piece for me that matters more. I think this is why it's so important to really understand what type of impact you want to make, what truly drives you there. And for those who are going through this transition or pivot, right? I always talk about soul searching before job searching, right? So it's really going back into here first. Mm-hmm. Right, like going back to alignment, energy, how do you feel? And I'll share this as a story journey for me. This is a big wake up call. Is I had a few instances in my career, even actually during my own business, where I took on another job just because I wanted a bigger challenge. And my body shut down, like meaning I just could not work. Right. So I just ignored those signs of where I felt like I was just trying to push and figure out and do it, but then my body just shut down. And it was just like the time where the crossroads, I'm like, I have two young kids. Like, is this really worth it? Right. And so I think it's so important. Like if your body, like if you're feeling tense, stress, or even your heart just feeling like shut down, it's a sign that we've suppressed ourselves for too long.
Yeah. I agree, Diana. And we are so taught to not listen to our bodies, including myself. It's been a couple of years now that I'm working on this, but we don't think like, okay, my shoulders are super tense. My stomach has like this big knot in it, but I'm still going to continue doing what I'm doing every day, all day, because that's my job. And we just tune this out and push it away when actually our body is telling us that something is wrong. We need a change. And I find it so, and you said that too, is doing work that energizes you versus drains you. Mm-hmm. So for you, the work of sharing knowledge and coaching, mentoring, advising, it's so energy giving. Like when you do this all day, you're working hard, but it at the same time, it gives you energy.
Yeah.
Versus when you do work that is very, in your case, very process driven, probably, that doesn't have that service driven piece to it, you can work equally hard, but it might be so much more draining than doing work that is aligned with who you are.
Totally. I cannot agree more. And I think this goes back to knowing your core values as well. Like, are you doing work that also align with your values? Because your values is like your guiding compass. Yeah. Right. That also gives you a sign of what lights you up. Like even for me, like one of my core values is authenticity and connection. So when I don't feel like I'm my true self, or when I'm not really connecting with people, I'm not aligned and I'm not myself other. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another sign too, is like, are you honoring your values or not?
Yeah. You said that so beautifully. And yeah, it's interesting how you have a core value that is so tied to the work you do of advising and coaching and guiding others. And if you don't do that, there's something missing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I was just wanted to ask you if, so when you were going through all these career pivots, I often see that people struggle with shifting the identity, right? You are a recruiter. This is who we are. And then we shift to like, okay, you're a consultant. Oh, this is who you are. Now you shift to coach. And I wonder if at any point it has helped you to lean into, you didn't know about the spark type assessment back then, but that throughout all these shifts that you made, who you are at your core is that you love to share insights, coaching, mentoring, and you are doing this work in different roles. You are doing it as a recruiter. You are doing it as a consultant. You're doing it as a coach, but the core of who you are, you carry it from one role to another.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you said this, like I recognize why even in university, I was volunteering like over 1,000 hours of being like a big sister orientation leader to hundreds of first year students is because I just wanted to help people make an impact there. Right. So, but I just didn't know how to turn into a career 20 years ago, but I was already doing that kind of work, or I was teaching people about soft skills, communication skills. So even when I was in corporate, it's interesting you say this, even when I was in my core job in marketing, in operations, I was always volunteering and doing work like recruitment at the new grad fairs. Like I was always the one volunteering to do that. So I think it's very interesting that I probably naturally gravitated to things, even I didn't get paid for it. Like I just did it. And then now I look back when you're telling me this sparked, I'm like, that makes sense. Like I was willing to do it even though I wasn't getting paid for it.
And you know, this is something I hear so often from clients, and it is something they disregard. So they're like, oh, I was just doing the new hire orientation. I was just doing the recruiting. That was just something I did on the side. And they don't, because it comes so naturally that you can almost not do it, that you don't give yourself credit for, and then don't lean into it or don't build on it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about this, if anyone can relate to this too. Sometimes you may think that you found the right path, but it's not the right path or the right role, if that makes sense. And so one of the examples I had for myself was I got into recruiting, thinking also that was the dream job, right path.
Yeah.
And I get to talk to people, get to help people. And I did it for many, many years. Like I was in corporate recruiting, recruiting for Google, recruited for a top MBA executive MBA school. And I also worked as an agency recruiter. So I did it for a very long time, like almost even when I was in my coaching business, I did it for 6 years as well. But something was missing and I couldn't pinpoint it even though I was doing it. Like I was like, okay, I'm good at it. I'm getting great results. But why is the feeling not as excited or feel like it's, I can just do this for a long time? And you know what my aha moment was? My aha moment, what I realized was because in recruiting, I reject a lot more people than lifting them up. Mm-hmm. That was my big aha moment when I realized a big part of the energy was also evaluating, assessing, judging, whereas my natural tendency is empowerment, affirmation, that motivational energy. So I want to talk about that because it took me years to even realize that. Are there and to be able to be bold enough, to be courageous enough to be like, wow, like that is what's draining me. And I need to start really let go of this, even though I'm great at it.
That is so interesting, Diana, because my background is in recruiting as well. And I can relate to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I see that also with other clients that the Spriker type, it actually, I didn't mention that yet. It doesn't tell us what necessarily what we're good or bad at. It tells us what energizes us and what drains us. Mm-hmm. So when you're really energized by coaching and mentoring, advising, and you certainly do get to do that as a recruiter when you're interviewing, there might have been a little bit of a missing piece, like you're interviewing someone and then sometimes you're mentoring them along the interview process and you're advising them, you're coaching them. But a lot of times, you have to do the opposite and reject people. And when we are so drawn to doing the work of our primary Spriker type, and then we actually have to do the opposite, that can feel really like just against our grain, like against who we are.
Totally, totally. And this is where I want to highlight is to not ignore those signs.
Yeah.
Right? If you can feel it's off, like this is trusting your intuition, trusting your gut.
Yeah.
Know that you can get through this, like you can heal through this, right? Like don't just dismiss those subtle signs. Sometimes it could be really loud, sometimes it could be really soft there. But if there's that, what we call it, the dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know that there's nothing wrong with having that. We all have things that energize and drain us. And I think so many people then would be in your situation and would be like, there's something wrong with me, that I'm not good at this, or this is a heavy lift for me. But no, it's just not aligned with who you are. And for every human on this earth, there's going to be something that's not aligned with them. And that's a heavier lift. And that is okay.
Yes.
Sometimes we can work around it. And sometimes we need to shift. But at no point do you ever have to feel like this is a heavy lift and there's something wrong with me because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you're saying this, acknowledging it there. So I'm curious if we want to even talk about even just now that we have get that, once you get the clarity and knowing this, like how do we overcome the fear of making the pivot? You know, this topic
yes.
is pivot.
Yes.
There's a clarity.
So now you know you're misaligned. You're not doing what you're meant to do. It's scary. Yeah.
Like once you have this aha, what do we do?
Right. How did you navigate that, Diana?
Well, my first big navigation was I went for an MBA, an expensive MBA.
If you could go back, would you do that again?
I don't regret getting it, but I think that had I been exposed to coaching back at then, I think that would have been a better in terms of aha for me, breakthrough, right? I think at that time, I only knew, okay, MBA was a choice to make a career pivot because we've been told that if you want to make a career change into consulting, these prestigious roles, getting into a top MBA school was your ticket, right? That's what I knew back then. And I knew I want to make something, a big change. So that was what was in front of me to do it there. But I think if I had known about coaching back then, I would have taken that different path because when I did do it 3-4 years later, investing in coaching, I was like, wow, why didn't I know about this back then?
Yes.
Right? Had I known that, one, I would save a lot of time, save a lot of money. And I remember when I was recruiting for MBA school, a lot of people who decided to go for MBA was because they want to pivot their careers. And that's when I had my mission, like, you don't need an MBA to pivot your career. Right. And so the way I did it then was when I made this pivot, even after going to the MBA, I pivot into consulting, which I knew was really hard to get into. So part of it was getting the MBA to pivot into a top consulting firm. But that I still wasn't really doing exactly what I wanted to do, right? It was technical training design versus training delivery, which is two different things as well. This is something, yes, I want to point out, is you may think you're in the path of, let's say, from even training, but what type of training? Is it the design work or is it the delivery work?
Right.
And that has a huge impact. Like I did not want to be designing technical training for thousands of people. Like it did not fulfill me or energize me.
That sounds like a really heavy lift for you.
It was a very heavy lift. It was a massive project on designing, like essentially helping the launch of this Metro, whatever the thing that was coming out, that I had to design all the technical training. And that was my big aha, because I was like, wow, I thought I found it, but then I'm like, this does not make sense. And I was working 90 hour work weeks back then.
Oh my Right. And doing 90 hours of something that is such a heavy lift and draining, I cannot even imagine what toll that took on you.
So I made the bold move. After that 1 year, what happened was for me was, and I remember this vividly, how I quit. Like, because this is like something, there's a difference of sometimes like you want to strategically make the transition. In that case, I was still young. I quit because I remember this was because my grandma passed away and I went back for her funeral in Hong Kong and the employer was not happy about it. And so that made me really push, like, think like what's really important? Like when I'm in
living. You work 90 hours a week and then they're not happy that you want to go to your grandma's funeral.
Yes. Flying back to Hong Kong. And that was a decision I needed, like, you know what, this is not worth it for me at this time. Like, yes. I just needed that time and to leave. So that was when I decided just to quit. That was like, for me, it was not like a big, I need to figure everything out. I'm like, I just need to get out. Now I'm not saying this is necessary for everyone, but if for me at that time, it just made sense to me there. And then I moved into recruiting after that, which I felt more aligned because I was, you know, talking like recruiting for a top MBA school, executive MBA program. I still get to do some coaching, some training, coffee chats, presentations. These were all the skills that I wanted to gain more. And I already knew I eventually wanted to start my business. So the way I think about it, even think of career transitions, is whatever next step you make, it doesn't have to be the dream job or the perfect move. It's more about, are you in alignment and develop the skills that you want to develop? So in my case was, I knew I want to do more speaking. So moving into this role where I get to speak in front of hundreds of people and have one-on-one conversations and going through like interview process of evaluating people, it made sense to me because I was developing those skills. And I knew, and this is where you can tell yourself, is that if you know this is not like the destination, but it's like, what do you call it? A passing by, like the gas station to pass by, it's totally okay because I was commuting 2 hours every week to go back to a different city to go into the office. And so I knew it was temporary stuff for me, but at the same time, I knew it's going to help me with whatever, wherever I was going next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love how you point that out. It's can be a bridge job and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. If you need to get out of the role and oh my God, I'm so glad that you did. I cannot even imagine an employer not supporting you going to a funeral. That is not okay. There's no circumstances that make that okay. But if you just have to get out and take an in-between job, yeah. I love what you're saying. Like, okay, let me think about what skills do I want to build. And yeah. sometimes, I'm taking your example again, when you work 90 hours a week and you're doing work that drains you, you probably don't have the capacity for any real internal work or a deep dive or figuring out what you truly want. Getting out of there and into a role where you can maybe work 40 hours a week, it's not as draining, you're still making good money, like you suddenly give yourself the space to think of like, okay, what do you want to do?
Yes. Yes. Oh, space. When you said that, like you got to give yourself space in times of transition, right? When you're in this desperate energy of want to just get your next thing, you're not going deep into really tapping into your soul and your heart of what you really want, right? And so like this is like that example, if you are working crazy hours and you don't have that space, part of it is giving yourself a break. And this is why I really preach a lot right now to even self-care, downtime, relaxation. The reason I say that is that if you don't make space for that, you're not able to really tune into your true self, your desires of what you really want to really tune into that and be courageous enough to step out of your comfort zone, right? Because how often when you think of that, we've been on autopilot.
Mm-hmm. I think we're running most of our lives on autopilot.
Right? On autopilot. When we're running on autopilot, because just doing the same old thing, it just feels normal. Like, are we really listening to like, hey, what we really want? And this is where courage comes in, right? To make this pivot, you don't have to have everything figured out, but you want to have enough courage to take that next step and then choose this growth over comfort, right? Instead of playing it safe, because that's when true transformation really happens, true transformation. And I remember when I started my business, like this was like also like a hard, like that transition, like, what happened was I got laid off from my job and I started my business literally 2 weeks that it happened. And one of the things that I guess sign that I needed, or the comfort you can say that I needed also at the time, was just realizing like, hey, like, you know, just betting on yourself. And I remember my husband telling me that we'll be okay. Like give yourself this 1 year, you call it the gap year or the year to test things out, to experiment things. Yes. Right. And when I had that, it's like, okay, this courage to just go for it, to give it a shot. That was like, I feel like the best thing that happened, even though I felt sad when I was like laid off and all that. But when I look back now, like looking back now, 10, 13 years later, I felt like that was the best thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best thing that happened to me that gave me the courage to move forward, even though I felt uncertain, even though I was scared.
Yeah.
There. And this goes back to the same thing. Even this past year, pivoting again from career coaching to business coaching, I've actually been thinking it for years as well. Like I knew I would wanted to have, I still love, like this is the thing, I still love coaching, I still love speaking, but something was missing for me. And deep down, I had to really dig deep to figure out what it was. And it was, I just wanted more growth, more challenge, serving a new audience, talking about new topics, but I still want to continue in the space of coaching and speaking. I just needed to find a different lane for me. And so this is part of experimenting, right? This is for those who are looking to thinking like, you don't want to make that instant pivot yet, is to experiment. So for me, that was like creating a new offer, which is the mastermind retreat, Teresa. Yes. Like the year before was, I just want to do something completely different from one-on-one coaching. And I'm going to create this experiential, transformational event, essentially mastermind retreat event. And I just went all in doing it. And you know, what's amazing was what I realized was why I loved it so much was it was tapping into my multi-passionate side of things of coaching, speaking, facilitating, event planning, traveling, human connection. That was my big aha. I was like, why did I lit up so much? Why was I so energized? Was because I wasn't just putting myself in a box of just doing this one thing, but I'm using multi-skills that really allowed me to shine and didn't feel like work to me. Like I still remember last year the first time running it, like I stayed up late, like to get the workbooks done, to get the agenda finished, like finalize all the details. Like I was just so giddy doing it.
Oh my God. And like, I can just, I know, like I told you that, like, this is what you're meant to do, Diana. You light up when you run these masterminds, and it just couldn't be a better experience. And that is because it is what you're meant to do.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think that's the point, right? It's sometimes it feels hard. I mean, when I think about this example like this, is there's no playbook, right? Per se, like there wasn't really for me a playbook for to follow. I just knew, going back to my values of what I wanted, how did I want to feel? And I knew I wanted something big, like in terms of change as well. And so it was just then deciding and going for it and really putting your best foot forward to it.
Yeah. And what I also really took from the story that you just shared, that space, that giving yourself space is huge. And I actually had a very similar moment on last week's Career Clarity Unlocked when I talked about my change from recruiting to coaching. And my guest, Lisa, asked me what was for me the moment, what was it that I needed to allow myself the change? And I was like, space. My daughter was born. I was out of work for 3 months and my body was screaming at me to not go back. And sometimes, and I think for you, it was the layoff, right? That suddenly gave you space. And I think if there's one thing I could do differently going back in my own career is not waiting for the external circumstances to forcing me to give myself space, but to actually get out of this doing and be like, okay, let me just pause. Let me take a weekend away. Let me take a day away. Let me go meditate. Let me do a walk in nature and think about it. Is that something that you can relate to?
I can totally relate to this. And I think as I'm listening to this, and I want to ask the listeners too to think about this, is how often do we really wait until like either you're burnt out, you shut down, or whatever that incident is for you to realize, oh, I need to pause in this space, right? Like, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like I've had my instance fair share. And this is why if you start making space as an intentional way of living and habit, it becomes easier to do. So one of my mantra this year is the more time off I take, the more money I make. And I have over the years, every 3 months, optimized my schedule, meaning I would check in with my energy of how I feel, and I will optimize my schedule accordingly there. So it started off when I started my business of having like Fridays off, to just a couple of years ago where I decided to also have no meetings Mondays. So that allows me space and time to dream, to think, to plan, to connect to myself, to journal, whatever that is. And creating that schedule where, okay, I'm going to do focus work between Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'm so glad I did that. But traditionally, I've been so used to working crazy hours, or the definition of success or productivity is I need to fill my calendar up to be successful. And I wonder how many people can relate to that, because even when I first started my business, if I wasn't had a full calendar, I felt like I'm too lazy. I'm not being productive. I'm not being effective. And so it took me years in the making to realize that, no, this is what the traditional way of doing, right? The do, to achieve, to work hard and all that, versus making space to create.
Yes.
To create your new path, your new career, your new journey. Yeah. So I'm so glad you talked about space, because it's like, if your cup is so full and you can't put any more, and how can we really birth the new
thing? And you're just overflowing.
Overflowing, right?
It's hard.
Yeah. So this journey, like we talk about pivoting, right? Sometimes it doesn't have to be quick. So even in my case, pivoting from career coaching to business coaching, it was an instant, meaning I just turned this off and then turned that on. It was a year in the making, but part of it, what we call this transition, this messy middle, was how are you going to start? What are you going to start saying no to? So in my case was I need to start saying no to job search coaching clients, right? Like I had a full book of clients. I had to start saying no to that and start referring them out to other people. Right? So this is what we call the transitional things that you can do to set yourself up for success, right?
Yeah.
It's going to feel messy or feel different, but you know you're doing the right thing to set yourself up for this new path that you're heading towards there. And then when you're ready to be like, okay, I want to go all in, part of it's also having the possibilities mindset of what are you open to? What are those new possibilities that you want to open to? When you have that open possibilities mindset, things are just going to start coming and you're going to start being like, okay, do you want to take this on or not?
Oh, I love that. I also want to emphasize that we are very fortunate as entrepreneurs that we have more freedom and flexibility to do what lights us up. Not 100% because we're running a business and there's things we need to do, but we definitely have flexibility. But even when you're in a corporate role, there's ways that you can control your schedule. You can, first of all, you can give yourself breaks, even if you're expected. I was in a role, for me, it was 60 hours a week. I had to sit at my desk for 60 hours a week, but I can block out 30 minutes for lunch break. That was a bold move for me.
Yeah.
But then also this is saying yes and no. Once you know what lights you up, once you have that clarity on what lights you up and what drains you, there's little ways to make room for that in your schedule. So if you know that you love sharing ideas, knowledge, insights, speaking, say yes more to those opportunities at work. And then if you know, like, very heavy process-driven work, for an example, is of creating very technical training materials, if that is a heavier lift, say no. If it's not part of your core responsibilities, is there a way that you can say no to more of these things that drain you? And then is there also a way to arrange your schedule that you know, like, okay, there are certain things I have to do at work that drain me. How do I position them on my calendar that I give myself afterwards 20 minutes to recharge?
Yeah.
So even though you might not have the full flexibility, there's ways to still take control of your work and arrange things in a small way.
Yeah, I love that. It's those baby steps that you can take that will help you.
And going back to today's topic of the pivots, how do you see the importance of career clarity in when you're making a career pivot?
Yeah, this is such a great question, right? To me, clarity is key. What I mean, because when you have clarity of who you are, what you want, what's important to you, the way you show up energetically is different, meaning you are either more excited, more energetic. The way you talk to people will be different. So just think about the power of that, of spending time to do the clarity work, of the impact it will have of all your actions and behaviors and the people that you talk to. Right. So to me, that's number one, because one of the things that I've seen is having supported thousands of people with pivots is once you know what you want, imagine the career story that you're going to tell to people.
Yes.
Imagine what you'll say of like what lights you up, what gets you excited, and how will that be received by other people. And imagine when you start talking about what differentiates you, what you bring to the table, how do people feel around that? So when you think about that, it actually shortens the cycle of the transition. Your ability to get opportunities or close the opportunities would become faster, right?
I love that, Diana. And while you were talking, a past client of mine came to mind, and she came to me. She was interviewing for a year so she was in a corporate role in operations, took a year off to take care of family. And then she was like, okay, I need to get back to work. Going back to operations, that's what I've done all my life. And she was for 1 year, she was sending out applications and interviewing for roles, but getting nothing. And she was like, what am I doing wrong? And then I started coaching her. What actually was holding back was that she actually didn't want any of those roles. She interviewed for roles that she thought she should be interviewing for, but that energy of like, oh, actually, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Came through. It was subconscious. She wasn't aware of it. And then we made a little bit of a pivot, being like, okay, what if we move in this direction? She lit up. The first interview she had, she got the job. And then talk about that shift of energy after you're clear about what you want and why you want it.
I love that you share this example. So for those who are wanting to make this big career pivot, meaning like a different industry, different profession, or completely just something different, right? The bigger the pivot, the harder it is. But when you are doing something that lights you up, people can't deny that. It's a feeling, an emotion, right? People cannot deny that feeling that you are projecting out there. Yeah. So it actually becomes easier, even though in your mind, it's harder,
right? Yes, that inner work is super hard.
Yes, right? Or that I'm starting all over again, right?
Yes.
But actually, it's easier, right? And I'm going to use back my own example. When I think about creating this mastermind retreat that I did last year, that I've never done before. I remember the first one, like I had 5 people sign up within like the week. I had the offer created within 24 hours. And it was just, I don't know how to describe it. I was just so excited about it. And people were so excited when I told them about it.
Wow.
Right? So that's the energy when you think about this. And studies have shown this is that when you are in your most authentic self, this ties back to career pivots as well. When you are living your most authentic self, your truth, right? And doing what you love and what you're great at here, your authenticity is going to shine and you become more magnetic and more remarkable, right? Study shows that you're 4,000 times more in terms of powerful there.
And when 4,000 times more powerful.
4,000 times more powerful, right? When you're in this most authentic truth self there. So this is the power of why clarity is so, so important. And when you are what we call in your most energetic state, right? Excited state, joyful state, curious state. I don't even know what the number is, a crazy stat number that you become even more charismatic, more magnetic. Like it's like people just find you like, wow, like I need to be around you. I need to work with you. Like I need to bring you on board here. I need more of that energy. So this is why this is so important, right? This clarity piece that we're talking about, a lot of people brush it off. They're like, oh, I just need to update my resume. I just need to update my LinkedIn profile. Like that's the most common default, I can tell you, from requests people get.
Oh, and I've been there in the past.
Right, right. But if you spend time in this career clarity work, like what you specialize in, Charissa, is that outcome of it. Like, I think this is what we call like the outcome of it. The possibilities is just like, I never thought about that. Never imagined that.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And the beautiful thing is, that the career clarity, it's not work that you have to do for 10 years. I mean, it's some part of that will always be an awareness as we go through life and as things around us change. But if you want to make a career pivot, you can get that clarity in a week. You can get really clear about what you want. And in my program, as you know, I guarantee career clarity in 30 days.
Yeah.
But the majority of my clients, it takes them a week and they're like, I know exactly what I want to do next.
Yeah. Yeah. Charissa, I want to ask you about this because something that's very powerful that I had my big aha with the work that you do, that you can guarantee people clarity in 30 days. Why is that so powerful? How do you do that? That makes it so powerful.
It's the Sparkotype assessment. Mm-hmm. And as a starting point, there's obviously more to it, but we first figure out what is it that you're meant to do? Mm. What is the work? So in your case, it's the coaching, advising, mentoring. And once we have that, and if that resonates, we find it. Everyone has a different way to relating to it. But once we figure out, okay, this is the piece that makes you come alive. Okay, how have you done this in the past? What were all the moments where you've done that work in the past? All right. And those were the moments that lit you up. And maybe we have to go really deep here sometimes because it's not necessarily the work that we were hired to do.
Yeah.
And then we take all these pieces and be like, okay, now, what would that career look like where you get to do this the majority of the time? And that's where we gather all the ingredients we need. And then we're translating those ingredients into an actual job description. And only when we wrote your ideal job description, then we're going to put the job titles to it. Because I feel like the big mistake people said, they start with job titles. And job titles are like, the job is something called something different at every company anyway. So don't start with job titles. Figure out what makes you come alive, get all the ingredients you need in your career, then what does your ideal job description look like? And then we can look, okay, what are the job titles that match that?
Oh, you know what just resonated with me with this, and I hope the audience really takes this away, is don't start with just job titles first. And this is what I was saying earlier, is purpose before position. And that's what I mean by that, is your purpose of what lights you up, what gives you energy, right? Because the titles could change. And oftentimes people tie their titles or their identity other, right? And you said something really important as around, what do you want to do majority of the time?
Yeah.
What do you want to spend majority of the time doing? So it's okay, there'll be times that some things may drain you in a job, but are you doing like 50 or even 80% of the things that really light you up?
Exactly. Right. It's that ratio. If you do 90% of a heavy lift and 10% of what energizes you, you're not going to feel great at the end of that workday. Yeah. But it's 80% of work that lights you up, and then there was 20% that you had to do because it's part of your job, you're still going to feel great at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is like the big aha. I'm so glad you share this, because I feel like this is the breakthrough people need, is that it's not just about the role. It's more about what makes you whole. So what I mean by that is that a career isn't just about the title, the job description. It's about how the role fits into your life and fulfills you and energizes you as a person.
Yes. Right?
That's what's really, truly important. So when we pursue roles that really align with our core values and interest, we're not only going to succeed professionally, but we're also going to feel more balanced and whole as individuals.
100%. And one sentence I hear from a lot of clients who then found careers that they really love is they say, for the first time, I feel like that this is where I belong.
Wow.
And that's, for me, it's like, wow. And I look back in my old jobs and I was like, yeah, I didn't belong there. It was not aligned. And finding something where you feel like this is where I'm meant to be is like, it's the best.
Totally. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I love that. This is such a juicy conversation. I love it.
And on that note, I also want to let everyone know that if you want to figure out what is it that you really, really want to do and have a step-by-step process for identifying your transferable skills, gifts, and strengths, and then honing into those that energize you, and then learn how you can position them so that you become an in-demand candidate. I actually have a free masterclass. I hosted the first one yesterday. It was a huge success. I have another one coming tomorrow and one last one next week. And there's a couple of spots left. So if you are interested in joining, go to careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass to grab one of those spots. And before we end this conversation, Diana, what is one thing you want listeners to take away if they're in a spot, if they're just not where they're meant to be right now, where they're feeling, I've done all these things just like you have, but it's still not it? Yeah. What is your one piece of advice that you want listeners to take away?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say I highly recommend this masterclass. I highly endorse this because I know you're going to get tons of value. So definitely check it out. Because I've shared it with my entire email list as well too. So I really, really believe in this. And so my best advice for those who are really feeling stuck right now, feeling burnt out, stressed, unclear of what's next, I would say the next best thing you can do is really giving yourself that permission to take a break or a pause, doing something for yourself. So whether it's a weekend getaway, like create your own mini retreat where you can really have that downtime just to reconnect to self and think, reflect on everything that we've been talking about here, like what truly lights you up, what drains you, right? Like start from there first. Like you don't have to make this drastic change. Just give yourself that break. Take this masterclass, read some books. All that is really going to help. Because a big part is like you need to clear the head, right? So there's a saying here by Tony Robbins, is if you're in your head, you're dead. If you're in your head, you're dead. Right. So if you are up here in your head of constantly thinking of these what if scenarios, or I can't do this, I'm not good enough for this, I don't want to start over, it's never going to happen. But when you actually tap into here, going back to the heart and the soul of it, it's what's really going to give you the courage to make bold moves, to take the massive action, because you're clear on your why. Right. So one thing I always talk about is like make your why greater than your fears. Fears is going to come up when you make this career transition and pivot. No doubt. That could be daily, but be really clear on why you're doing this. Why do you want this? Right. And I love this saying to end wrap up here is that change, it's hard at the beginning, messy in the middle, fulfilling at the end.
Ah, this is the perfect place to end this incredible conversation, Diana. And if people want to learn more from you, connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, absolutely. If you want to learn more from me, the best way is to follow me on my LinkedIn at Diana YK Chan, where I share daily best advice and also connect.
Diana is a must follow. If you don't, I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know you yet, but if you're not following Diana, you have to, like, right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. So I share a mix of business advice, career advice, and also like personal self-care advice there. And I also have 11 LinkedIn learning courses that I highly recommend checking it out. 11 free nano courses that all launched in this past year. So there is a course on how to make a successful career pivot. I have another course on career clarity. It's only like 7 minutes long. Another course on like digital networking, personal branding. So be great to just to check these out as well. Like they're free for the public there.
And you can find them on LinkedIn Learning /instructors/Diana YK Chan. And do you also have a website where people can find you?
Absolutely. So you can also check me out on mymarkability.com there. I also have a YouTube channel that you can look up at Diana YK Chan, where I also have a lot of free career resources and also some business of resources there.
Oh, thank you, Diana. You are just such an incredible wealth of knowledge, inspiration, and resources. And I'm so thankful that you came on to the show today.
My pleasure. It was such a delight and honor, Teresa. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Diana, for being here today. And that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope that all of you are feeling inspired and ready to maybe take a small leap of faith in your career, give yourself some space, and find what it is that would truly light you up. And again, if you're ready for your own breakthroughs or for taking that next step and find career clarity in record time, make sure that you are following me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Teresa A. White on LinkedIn. You can join my masterclass. That is going to happen one more time tomorrow and one last time next week. And then thank you for tuning in, everyone. And I can't wait to see you all back here next week. You can also find the Career Clarity Unlocked podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. So make sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.